Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio in Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today I'm joined by artist and Michigan native Laura Ginn. Laura, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, you're a native of Greater Detroit, and you recently received your MFA from Cranbrook Academy of Art. Can you tell people What kind of things are you making?
Oh, what kind of things I'm making now?
Yes. Tell us a little bit about your art background.
Sure. I'm primarily a photographer, but over the last couple of years, I've started doing a project dealing with survival skills, and that's involved a lot more elements of performance and some video work, and just generally exploring different survival skills, shelter building, tanning, hunting, things like that, and photographing the process.
So tell me, you know, I've read somewhere that you were once a vegetarian, and tell me about the process of getting into, you know, hunting and tanning and being resourceful.
Sure. I was a vegetarian for 16 years, actually up until I moved to New York. When I was in Michigan, I was learning some hunting and trapping and leather making, but I was working mainly with other hunters, so they would, you know, keep the meat if we were hunting, and I would pick up roadkill to use for the skins, and I was also getting cast stuff from processing places. The first time that I was having animals, you know, provided for me, the complete animal, only for the use of my work, was with the rats that I served in New York. And when I decided to do that, I felt that in keeping with the project, it would be necessary for me to eat the meat of those animals, which is how I broke my vegetarianism and how the rat project started.
So I want to get into the rat project in a little bit, but before we do, I want to know, how did you first come into taxidermy and tanning? What drove you to kind of be fascinated by those tools?
Sure. Before I went back to grad school in Michigan, which is where I grew up, I was living in D.C., and I started reading a lot of post-peak oil blogs. It was a very popular thing in D.C. at the time, and I was very interested in these survivalists who were doing things and blogging about it. And when I moved back to Michigan, the economy had slipped even further from the time when I had left, and I was just really taken aback at the level of economic uncertainty and just people, you know, out of their homes, out of their jobs, really struggling. And I began to ask myself, well, what's the way to cope with the anxiety that surrounds this, you know, of our community sort of falling apart and our infrastructure not really there as much in the Detroit area anymore? And I thought, you know, I want to try out some of these survival skills that I've been reading about. So when I arrived at Cranbrook, I began my project with building shelters, and one of my first projects was to build a cabin by hand. And I was just so excited after that happened. I felt so empowered by the process of learning through doing and being able to make something with my hands in that way that I decided to discover other skills I could do. I met a hunter in Detroit named Glennie Beasley, and he hunts raccoons with his two dogs around southeastern Michigan. and then sells the carcasses for meat. And I went over to his house to photograph him and hear about what he was doing. And he's the one who introduced me to the skinning process, which I found fascinating. I documented it. I visited him several times. And then I decided that I wanted to learn leather making for myself.
So, yeah, and by the way, for listeners out there, you can see beautiful photographs that Laura's taken on her website. It's lauramaygin.com, and it's spelled G-I-N-N. So you should definitely check it out because they're pretty awesome. And, you know, the first time that you actually skinned an animal, what was that like? Were you freaked out? Was there anything that surprised you?
Well, the first animal I skinned was a raccoon that I picked up on the side of the road. And, I took him to the backyard and I put him on a table and I thought about it for a while. And I'd seen Glemmy do it a bunch of times, but I was still really nervous. I wasn't sure how it was going to feel. I'd only watched the process. And it was a pretty emotional thing for me the first time I did it, and a little scary.
So would you say, tell me about the pulse of Detroit right now. Culturally, do you feel like there's a lot of people who continue to exist in the world of hunting? Are there young people that are involved, or is this kind of an older craft?
Hunting's always been a big part of Michigan history. Detroit had a large part in the fur trade. And I think that it's still really popular among a lot of people there. A lot of people go up north, have hunting lodges and cabins, and, you know, go out for deer. It's a pretty good mix. I mean, there are a lot of people who live in the area who are suburban or in the urban areas, and they're not as much into hunting. But I do think it remains a part of the culture there.
So I've had a lot of guests on this show who are on the younger side of age, and they are diving headfirst into kind of old-fashioned practices, or, you know, practices that are not as common these days. And do you feel like tanning and taxidermy, are these things that you foresee people embracing within the younger age groups in the future?
I know that there's been a big return to traditional skills and craftsmanship that we're really seeing that right now. I think it's a great skill to have. It's super simple. It's just, you know, you can literally pick up roadkill on the side of the road and make yourself something nice, and, you know, it's sort of recycling in a way. The animal, you know, would have just decayed there. And, you know, I think it's just something about being physically connected to the world. My dad did a bit of farming when I was growing up, and so I learned a little bit about working with the soil, and those are some of my best memories, and just feeling connected to the world and feeling like you have control over the world around you, which so often I think we're very separated from that. You know, everything comes to us through an intermediary, through a store, through a digital format, you know, and so to be able to do something that allows you to just really transform the world in a very immediate way, I think that's an important thing, and hopefully people will continue to explore this.
So you recently had an opening at the Allegra La Viola Gallery on the Lower East Side, and the exhibition was titled Tomorrow We Will Feast Again on What We Catch. And the opening night, you held a very memorable dinner, a performance, and can you tell us about what it was that you were serving and how it came about?
Sure. Well, we served rats. I don't think that's any secret. and that came about when I moved to New York from Michigan, and I was asking myself how the work that I'd been doing would translate to New York City. And I started looking around me to see what types of wildlife I saw and what sorts of resources. And, you know, I saw pigeons, I saw squirrels, and I saw rats. And I thought, you know, the rat is really emblematic of the city. And here it is, you know, sort of, I don't know, one of the few forms of New York wildlife. And I thought I would like to explore what it would be like to, you know, use this animal for leather, to use it for meat. What if there did come a time where we were short on resources, would we hunt these subway rats? So it felt like the right direction to go in, and so I started working with rats. And like I said, because these were the first animals that I was having provided for my work that, weren't already part of another process, I decided that I needed to eat them as well as to use their skins for leather. So I connected with a chef, Yuri Hart, and, for the last year we've been working on sort of sampling rats and working on recipes and putting this dinner together.
Where did you get the rats?
The rats for this dinner came from a feeder supply company, so they're raised for animal food in California. And the reason for that is because, it's not the post-apocalypse, and it's fairly to just society, and I didn't want to get anyone sick.
So. The terroir of the Q train was not present. Okay.
No.
So tell me.
Tomorrow we may feast on what we catch. Today we feasted on what we had.
So this was the first thing that you ate after being a vegetarian for an extremely long time. Tell me about the first bite that you took. What was that like?
I was nervous. It was not the best thing I've ever eaten. to start with, we just sort of took the rats, I butchered them, and we fried them in a pan. Just so we could get the full flavor of the meat and see what they tasted like. Myself, the chef Yuri Hart, and the two friends who joined us, none of us, of course, had ever eaten rat before, so we didn't know what it would be like. And it was a little gamey. I was told it tastes like rabbit, which I have yet to try. And, I stayed the night at a friend's house because I wasn't sure if I was going to get sick or not.
So, okay, what was give me the rundown of the menu. What was, how was it prepared, what was eaten, and how was it received?
Sure. We had 20 guests at the dinner, and Yuri worked night and day leading up to it for about 4 days, finishing all the prep work and putting together these recipes. We had gazpacho with a bit of roasted rat on crostini for the first course. The second course was a rat and pork terrine with pickled vegetables. The main dish was rat two ways, which was braised and grilled, and we had a nice basil sauce on the grilled rat. And then we had a little lemon sorbet palate cleanser and finished up with brioche French toast with rat jerky on top, smoked rat jerky. And I have to say, for me, it was one of the best meals I've ever had. I think Yuri really outdid himself, and it was quite delicious. And I think a lot of our guests agreed. We had a lot of clean plates at the dinner. We had, some folks who were more apprehensive than others, but I think it was a good atmosphere, a lot of, positive energy and excitement. And so I think that sort of the communal aspect of it helped to make people brave.
So what you're saying is that pet stores in New York should probably become concerned about people purchasing rats now, locally.
Well, I think I know that people do have pet rats. They're very smart animals and well-loved. But I do know also there are some feeder supply places in New York that sell rats for food.
So tell me, in terms of the guests that were at the dinner, what kinds of conversations were they having beyond the gasp or the initial shock? What were they talking about?
I think there were a lot of conversations about other interesting things they'd eaten. If any of them were hunters, they talked about that. Some of my guests were primarily vegetarians, so I think they talked about that and their reasons for it and then why they were at the dinner. Conversation sort of went to different survival skills and then just a regular dinner conversation.
We are going to take a really quick break, but when we get back, we'll have more from artist Laura Ginn. You are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. Keep it locked.
So many times I've played You're listening to The Game Gets Old by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. With my Bach sing-alongs, so I'm gonna feel some pain. Now how many times can I lose this game of love?
Shooting an arrow without aim. Who knows where it'll fall? Now my cards on the table. Win, lose, or draw.
Man, I need a new computer. I guess I'm going to have to go to the Apple Store.
What? Don't go to the Apple Store. Go to TechServe.
What's TechServe? I thought Apple Store was the only choice.
No, you're crazy. TechServe is so much better than the Apple Store. They're New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. Plus, the store is really cool. You got to go check it out. They're located at 119 West 23rd Street.
Well, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
TechServe is a proud sponsor of HeritageRadioNetwork.org. For more information, visit TechServe.com. That's TechServe.com.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I am still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by artist Laura Ginn, who has most recently shaken up the New York culinary world in a different way, serving up rats at an amazing exhibition. And before the break, we were talking about rat, what it tastes like, how she came about with the project. And I want to know, you know, more and more with kind of the ongoing fears of, you know, ice caps melting and, you know, recession and all these different topics of issues in the 21st century. Do you feel like people are being drawn to becoming more resourceful in, you know, different trades and skills, or do you think that we're still very heavy on the technology side of things?
I think we're absolutely still really heavy on the technology side of things. I think there's, you know, there's an interest in survivalism and an interest in these skills, but I think, I mean, for the majority of us, we still work in jobs that require computers or do, you know, most of our communicating digitally and, you know, rely on our central air and things like that. So, you know, and I think that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's comfortable. And these things were created for our convenience, for a higher quality of life. But I do think it's good to keep these skills alive. I mean, you know, even a generation and two generations ago, there was a lot more of this kind of knowledge around, you know, before we became so specialized. And I think it's good to not forget.
Have you eaten any meat since you ate the rat?
I have. I do. I eat some other meat now on occasion.
So rat's the gateway meat for you?
Rat was the gateway meat.
What are the other things that you're eating?
I've had a hamburger. I've had, steak, some pork, things like that.
So, you know, beyond this project, where is your work going? Do you think you'll remain within taxidermy and themes of being resourceful? Are there other medias and mediums that you're interested in working with?
I mean, I'm really interested in physically making things, you know, with the tanning of the leather and with building of shelters and things like that. I'm interested in making things. I've become more interested in the performative aspect of my work, kind of how it relates to my body, which eating obviously involves the body completely. And so I think I'll stick probably along the lines of learning of different skills. Photography really lends itself, you know, to showing process, the process of learning something or how to do something. You can show, you know, the beginning, the middle, and the end simultaneously with photography. So I imagine my work will stay along those lines.
Give me some advice on the next time I try to build a log cabin or I try to go skin a squirrel. What do I need to know?
Take a deep breath, don't give up, and if you can, bring a friend, because it's always easier with help.
What about a bottle of booze? That's probably a really bad idea, especially in the case of log cabins. But, I mean, how long did it take you to build a cabin? Because it seems like a very ambitious project.
Sure. It was a small cabin, about 8 feet by 9 feet square. And it took several months. I think it was about 3 months till completion, and I was just working on it most every day for most of the day.
Have you ever hung out in there and camped out, or do you plan on hanging out in there in the future?
I did when it existed, and it has since been torn down.
What about you created a caravan as well?
I did, and that was also a temporary shelter, so that only existed for about a week before I disassembled it.
So, what are you currently working on?
Currently I've just moved to North Carolina, and I am working on a new series of dresses. I had made my dress for the dinner that we had in New York, and I'm working on another series of dresses and some more photographs that are drawn from the work of Edward Curtis, who spent many years photographing Native Americans.
What are the dresses made out of?
The dresses will be made out of different skins, mostly just skins that I found here in North Carolina. I'm just getting started on those.
What's the, scent-wise, are you running into any problems, any stinky carcass issues?
I've got a pretty good handle on how to control that now. Basically, you know, you keep things cold and you keep the baking soda on hand and it can pretty much be managed.
And North Carolina, I mean, you know, where are you living and, you know, what are some of the things that you're totally psyched about doing there?
I am living in Saxapaha, North Carolina, which is about an hour from Raleigh. And I'm right now I'm excited about the river and the trees and having a little more space and time to work.
Barbecue?
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely.
Lots of barbecue.
Definitely.
Well, cool.
Lots
and absolutely. And, you know, people can find out more about your work at lauramegan.com. And are there any upcoming exhibitions that we can look forward to seeing you at?
No, at the time I'm starting teaching, and so I'll be focused on that for the next several months.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And for those listeners out there who want to get more acquainted with Laura's work, again, it's lauramaygin.com. I highly recommend checking it out, and you'll probably learn a thing or two about deer brains. I love that video so much of you cutting open the deer brains and digging it out. It's pretty badass. So thanks again, and thanks to Joel Galarraga, Jack Inslee, the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio Network and Roberta's. I'll see y'all next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.